It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A year has passed since the Newtown shooting tragedy without any significant congressional action. But now, Pennsylvania Republican Representative Tim Murphy, who is also a clinical psychologist, has announced legislation that's designed to overhaul the nation's mental health system, including a restructuring of federal mental health care funding. The unveiling of Congressman Murphy's Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act follows a year-long investigation into the U.S. mental health system. He joins us now by phone from Washington. Congressman Murphy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
As you and your staff have looked at what you have called our nation's broken mental health system, what did you learn that led you to propose this legislation?
Well, what we learned was that the federal government and state governments have been spending a lot of money in the mental health sphere for a couple of decades. Currently, it's about $125 billion a year on the federal level and probably another $40 or $45 billion on the state level. However, that money is not getting to those who need it. What we've discovered is that in the last 20 years or so, we've closed down a lot of psychiatric hospitals. Now we have many, many more people who are in penitentiaries and county jails with mental illness. In Pennsylvania, we've actually gone from 20 hospitals and 8 prisons to 20 prisons and 8 hospitals. And about 20% of the population of men in our prisons in Pennsylvania are mentally ill, and 50% of the women. We also have huge numbers in homelessness. About 40% of those who are homeless are mentally ill. We have restrictions on the use of medications, too few psychiatrists and psychologists, especially those who are equipped to treat those who are seriously mentally ill, and a lot of barriers that Medicaid puts up that block treatment, blocks efficiency, and we don't have enough money in the research area. So what we found is we looked at those agencies that are spending money, and we found a lot of that money is spent on, quite frankly, some silly programs, everything from buying paintings to sponsoring conferences and parties and dancing and collages and things that have nothing to do with mental health treatment. So those people who we're deeply concerned about, who are not able to get the help they need, we want to make sure that we do a number of things. One, for those federal agencies that are spending money in the area of mental illness, the standard is now going to be it has to be on programs that have some scientific basis, that those are programs that work and that they're effective. And if not, the money is going to programs that are. On the state level, we want states to have more options, not just putting people in jail or locking them into a psychiatric hospital ward if they're an imminent threat, but providing some other outpatient treatment options. We want to shore up our community health centers and community mental health centers to getting more providers there, increase training for doctors, and also increase training for police and other paramedics who maybe the first to respond when there's a tragedy, and many, many more changes.
Congressman, are you saying that mentally ill offenders, people like Adam Lanza, for example, the Newtown shooter, are cases like this falling through the cracks of the system?
They are. I mean, we have to keep in mind that of the 20% of people that in any given year may have some level of a diagnosable mental health problem, that can go from a very minor transient reaction to some very severe things. A very small percentage of those folks actually are violent. But the options for those who are seriously mental ill are very few, and especially those who are violent are very few. And the Adam Lanzas of the world, as some have described it, they don't just fall into the cracks. They crawl into the cracks. They isolate themselves from the world. I mean, look what Adam Lanza was doing, covering the windows up in his home. Or they start to keep a journal or log or planning for what was taking place. But they're isolated from the world, and we don't have ways of really to reach out and help these people. And that is something that I want to refocus our efforts in this nation so that we are really helping those who we're most concerned about that may end up with a tragic crisis.
How much of the responsibility falls on the families to seek out the help? Clearly, the government and the system can't identify everybody who might end up doing what Adam Lanza did.
No, we can't. And with the parents, what they need to know is that that they have options out there. Part of the reason we have stigma in this country is that people are afraid to seek help because they're, in some cases this help just isn't there. Or I got a letter from a woman from Baltimore, Maryland, after this bill was introduced. And it was interesting how she worded this. She said, you know, if a child has a chronic illness, they get sympathy from strangers. But my child gets labeled as psycho or head case or lunatic. And it says, your child may get treated in the ER, mine may wait 30 hours for that. And it say that when a child gets another physical illness, they get the help of all the doctors in the world, but for mental illness, the parents get blamed. Look, we understand that family role and the environment does have an impact on the issues involved with mental illness. But we also have to recognize much of it is a medical problem that can be treated in ways that we couldn't even dream of 50 years ago. We know there's psychosocial treatments available, the talk therapies combined with medication and other treatments, which can be very effective in helping people who are psychotic or schizophrenic or bipolar or depressive. But you have to be watchful of these things. And when parents give up or they're frightened of their child, I have treated kids who had their parents so scared to death they were afraid to go seek help. Parents have to know there are resources out there that can help them. And I'm bound and determined to kick down those doors of the barriers that government has created and get the help to those that have needed.
We're talking with Congressman Tim Murphy of Pennsylvania about his Helping Families in Mental Health Care Crisis Act here on Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. And Congressman Murphy, you walk in two different worlds. You are someone who is a member of Congress, a legislator, someone who also works in the mental health field. So you come at this from a couple of different perspectives. And you've also authored a book called The Angry Child. How has this informed your approach to crafting the legislation? Clearly, you've had some experiences like the one you just mentioned that have given you a unique perspective as you approach this problem.
Well, years ago when I wrote that book, The Angry Child, it was in response to so many kids that I was seeing and families I was dealing with who on the more extreme level were people who were on the cusp of the more violent acts to ones that just ran their household ragged with their anger and their rage, but we're not at that level yet of doing something dangerous. I've stayed focused on these issues, and even now I continue on in clinical practice. I joined the Navy Reserve a few years ago and work with post-traumatic stress disorder service members. And it helps me to understand firsthand the barriers that are out there, that even when we know what's to be done, getting the help in communities is very, very difficult. We've shut down the number of hospital beds in the 1950s was 600,000 psychiatric hospital beds. At that time, we had a population of 150 million. Now we have a 317 million population and only 40,000 hospital beds. And quite frankly, government is a big part of that, cutting budgets and also some people recognizing that the old way of doing things in the hospitals is just warehouse people and almost a punishment mode. That was not the right way. We have much more caring approaches and more focused approaches. But I see these hurdles all along, and I recognize that as being the only person in federal elected government who is a practicing mental health provider, I've got to make sure my colleagues understand that this isn't something we can just say, let's renew an old program and walk away and pretend we did something, because I think we'll do more dangerous things if we lull ourselves into some sleep state that says, well, because we did something, we did the right thing, now let's forget about it. We can't afford that.
There are also plenty of people, though, who also say that we need some sort of comprehensive gun control legislation to go along with what you are proposing. What about those people and the idea that if Adam Lanza doesn't have access to a gun, no matter how mentally ill he is not able to commit the crimes that he committed?
Well, in a case in Pittsburgh, when Ruth Johnson was and her son Levi got in a situation where he killed his grandmother, he stabbed her with a knife, and there's lots of other episodes where they're using other tools for this. I think what I go back to here is the comment that one of the Newtown, the Sandhook parents who lost her daughter told me. She says, you know, when we get to the point of a gun, it's too late. What we need to be paying attention to is, what were the mental health problems that contributed to this? And that is where I see that we just have to make some efforts. And quite frankly, it's one of those areas that I believe we can get strong bipartisan support. That there's 300 million guns out there, and dealing with all those things and working on the registration issues can be dealt with along the lines of those who have who are not supposed to be getting weapons, those who have been have a 302 procedure, that is, they've been doing an inpatient psychiatric hospitalization mandate, as well as those who are criminals. There's 2.7 million records that are supposed to be listed as these are people who are not supposed to get a weapon. But The states have not released those, so we really only have about 1.2 million records out there. That's a huge amount that aren't even filed, and those are people who shouldn't be allowed to get weapons. Secondly, you look at the way that some of these shooters have illegally, they've broken on the laws. Adam Lanza was not supposed to have weapons. Clearly wasn't supposed to have them, transport them, bring them on school property. The case of the shooter at Western Psych, traveled to another state, he illegally purchased the weapons. And so what we're finding in many cases is if we really had the right registration working for those who were not supposed to have the weapons, they would not have purchased them, and if those laws were effectively enforced. So, but my focus is, I believe, has to be on the mental health sphere. That's what I know, and that's where I know that the federal agencies have been misspending money, and where our hearts go to help those with mental illness ought to be our first approach on this.
One last question for you, Congressman. The National Disability Rights Network has complained that your legislation threatens funding for a 30-year-old National Network of Legal Advocacy Programs. What about this? Even with all the support that the legislation has from groups like the American Psychiatric Association, the American Psychological Association, you have this particular criticism.
Well, look, these are organizations that, quite frankly, in many states, those organizations are supporting this legislation. But what has happened is it's not been generically good. Some of those organizations have completely drifted away from their original intent to help patients to become lobbyists. And they get out there and they lobby for legislation, in some cases to shut down the very things we need, hospitals. And in some cases, they have individuals who have gone with patients who are facing an involuntary commitment procedure, and they will fund a lawyer, not a doctor, to go and get that person out of care. There was a case in Maine where someone funded by this network, they had their advocate there telling this psychotic individual what he should say during the meeting. Don't answer this question. Answer all the questions. You're fine. You're not going to hurt anybody, et cetera. So he was discharged from the hospital against the pleas of the parents and against the medical advice of the psychiatrist. He went home, took an axe, and chopped his mother to death. So I look upon these organizations of get back to your original mission of helping patients, but you're not going to get federal and state money to go out there and be lobbyists. You're supposed to be there for advocating there for the help for the mentally ill. And when they drift away from that mission, and now they're actually harming patients, then they need to be held accountable for that. This is taxpayers' money, and I do not want to see that misused to the level where people are going to be harmed.
Our guest has been Pennsylvania Republican Congressman Tim Murphy, who is also a clinical psychologist. He has announced legislation that's designed to overhaul the nation's mental health system, including a restructuring of federal mental health care funding. Congressman Murphy, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you, too. And we look forward to feedback from many people and their stories on H.R. 3717. Have a great day.
We will continue the conversation. Thank you, sir. Coming up, we'll look at how George Washington was nearly killed in western Pennsylvania long before he became president. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.